From the book of Genesis, the 19th chapter, verses 15 through 17. Supporting scripture coming from Philippians 3, 10 through 12, but I'll just read 12 since those verses have already been read in your hearing this morning. Chapter 19 of the book of Genesis. The Bible reads, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." Hallelujah, Jesus. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Our supporting verse coming from Philippians 3 this morning and 13. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." On the basis of those verses, we like to use a thought or subject this morning, the dangers of looking back. The dangers of looking back.
Say that God is a waymaker, then we got to treat it like he's a waymaker. We got to walk like he's a waymaker. We got to understand that he is a waymaker, and we got to see beyond where our circumstances. We got to learn how to look beyond that. And know that we serve a God that is able to do what we need him to do. Every one of us in here this morning expects something from God. And all of us, whether we will acknowledge it or not, we got something from God this morning already. The old saints used to say that he touched me this morning with, they called it a finger of love. Hallelujah. And how many of you know that just a touch from the power of a mighty God will make things work out for your good? Just knowing that he is your God, because you got to understand and know that for yourself. You can't even praise God on somebody else's testimony. You can't praise God on what mama them said. You got to find God for yourself. When you find him for yourself, then you can tell your generations of children what the Lord God has done. And I wonder why, when God has brought us so far, we tend to think that we are above praising him. We are above giving him the time that we ought to give him for worship and for praise. We do everything we want to do. We take our time. We have a good time. But when it comes to serving God, it tends that we want to put things on a time schedule. And that's your business. Can't nobody make you want to be here. Can't nobody make you stay to benediction. You came in on your own accord. You going out on your own accord. You got to have a will to want to get what's in here on this morning. You didn't put your clothes on just to come to say, I came to the house. But how many came for a blessing? And how many of you know that your blessing is right there at your... All you got to do is reach and grab it. And if you reach out and grab your blessing and you know that you got it, then can't nobody take it away from you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Since last Sunday to this Sunday, there's been some ups and downs. There's been some confusion in the land. There's been confusion in our own mindsets. But God has brought us through another week's journey. And it's not because we have been so good, but it's only the reason is because we serve a God that is merciful. And by his grace and by his mercy, he has allowed us another opportunity to assemble ourselves together on this day. Some would say another day that we are above ground, because as we do know, the death train is still running. And every one of us in here, whether you're ready or not, there is an appointed time that we are going to leave this place called the earth. And we ought to have a strong finish, and we ought to have strong faith. That if we got that strong faith, then it does not matter, because we know that everything's still going to be all right. We always talking about the other side, but we don't want to leave from this side. How many of you know if we say it's better on the other side, not that you're homesick, but you ought to be trying to make preparations. You ought to be trying to get your house in order. See, can't nobody do what you got to do for yourself. Hallelujah, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm going to have a good time in Jesus anyhow. When I got the midst of the Holy Ghost and the power of God all in the midst of us, we can't help but praise God. When God has blessed us with a musician of this caliber and a director and a choir that lift up the name of Jesus. And you know, the good thing that we ought to be blessed about is they sound just as good as that you buy. They may not wrote it, but they worked on it. And they got it just right. They got it exactly where it needed to be for us. And you got to take and put your own twist to it. You know, we're always talking about that's my song. If you didn't write it, you don't have a song. Anybody can sing a song that you sing. Hallelujah. But what you have to learn to do is stay in your own lane. That there's some song that I love to sing, but I don't even know the words. I can't do it. And when I know I can't do it, I say, come on, Brother Charles. Come on, William. Come on, somebody. You don't have to do everything, but something needs to be done. And what you got to understand, you got to learn how to follow the Spirit. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm following the Spirit. I'm not worried about that. I'm going to get to that. And you're not going to be in here all day, but I'm going to do what the Lord sent me down here to do. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you're in a hurry, I'm too sorry for you this morning. I'm not going to be long-winded, but I'm not going to quit fast and in a hurry either. God has been too good. God has brought us too far. Went out for a couple of days and come back and already gone to 2 funerals. So I know that the Lord God is still able, and he is willing to work with us. I just went to 2. There were 2 more in the midst, and the death train is still rolling. So if you got breath in your body this morning, if you know and acknowledge that the blood is still running warm in your veins, if you know that you didn't get up all by yourself this morning, if you know that there is a God that looked beyond your thoughts and saw a need to bless your very soul, then don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about who's looking at you. Don't worry about who say it don't take all of that. But you think of the goodness of Jesus and all that God has done for you. And I guarantee you something down on the inside will make you holly out, thank you, God. Anybody come and say thank you? You see, that's what it's about. It's bringing to your own mind what God is doing for you. No time to judge nobody else. No time to worry about nobody else. But I know God has been good to me. And because he's been good, I got to praise him. I got to be obedient to him. God has allowed us this opportunity to come this morning to break bread together one more time. And we don't do it for form or fashion, but out of obedience to the word and command of God to remember the sacrifice of his blood, the pain, the suffering that he endured in our stead. All of us are sinners and wretches undone. All of us are filthy rags before God. There are times that we think that we're all that. But the only thing that we can boast about is that God is good. God endured. God made amends for our sins. It was Jesus that died so that we might live. And all we got to do is confess and believe. Whole lot of folk don't want to confess. See, you got to understand that there comes a time you got to tell it like it is. Come a time you got to be honest with yourself. And you got to tell God all about not only your troubles and your sorrows, but you got to tell God about your wrongdoings. You got to tell God what he already knows. He saw us when we done what we didn't have no business doing. But God want us to come back and say, Lord, forgive me. for the wrong that I have done. And then my strong faith allows me to believe that he's such a loving God that he is going to forgive me for what I've done. So now I want to help you to let the enemy know that there's nothing that you've done that God cannot forgive you of. There's nothing in your life that is too hard or too far for God to reach you. I serve a God that loves you so much that he'll meet you exactly where you are. If you're in a messed up situation, God has no problem stepping into a messed up situation. And I guarantee you when God gets through working it out in that situation, it will not be messed up anymore. That there's somebody in here that can say that God has brought me a mighty long way. Now John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he came, he lived, he died for the sole purpose of making a way for us. And yet we still refuse to give him thanks. We all owe God a praise this morning. David said it like this, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? So what is it that I myself could do to give back to God for the things that he has done for me? I thank God. I thank God because he is good. I thank God because as we talked about last week, everything good that has happened to me, God did it. And I thank God for being that kind of God that'll do great things in our lives. Now, how many of us are honest enough to know that even though we were wretches undone, God was still doing some good things? God was still blessing us. God was still watching over us, and he was still protecting and keeping us. He always had us hid in his mighty pavilion. So what David says, when you realize that you're in that situation, you just got to call on the name of Jesus. For the Bible declares in the time of trouble. See, I'll call on God and he will hear my humble cry. Anybody been calling God? I wonder, do we have any callers that know how to call him when everything is going all right? Anybody talk to him when you don't want anything, especially? Anybody talk to him just because? You know, sometimes you all just look at the wondrous works of God and just say, thank you, Jesus. Sometimes you ought to see something that God has done and see a miracle that God has worked in somebody's life and didn't make it necessarily have to touch you, but you are still able to say, Lord, I just want to thank you. I need to be able to know this morning that there's some things that I haven't experienced in life, but I got some brothers and sisters that are laid on a bed of affliction that God had picked them up and made everything all right. So I truly believe by strong faith that God is a healer. Anybody believe that this morning? See, we got to learn how to continue to offer him praise and thanksgiving. You got to know that if God been good to you, then you ought to be good to somebody. He protects us at all times. Think about in the times of our storms of life. You know how it is sometimes when the harder you try, the more the enemy try you. The word says you're going to be tried by the fire. And sometimes you might get burnt. Only way you can't get burnt, you got to know somebody. That somebody is not somebody walking around on two legs. That's somebody that is able to endure even the heat of the day. That there are a whole lot of us talking a whole lot of noise, but not saying very much. Hey, we got to understand. We got to understand that there are troubled times, and there are times you're going to have heartaches. But you ought to be able to still praise him. Just because you're going through, you still ought to have a praise on your lips. Just because you don't have a dollar in your pocket, that ought not make you not to be able to tell God thank you. See, I ought to thank God that I don't have a dollar today, but God, I thank you for that dollar you're going to give me tomorrow. I thank you for that egg sandwich that you're going to let me eat on tomorrow morning. I thank you for being that God that's going to watch over me and give me what I need every step of the way. I thank you for giving me a mindset that I can't lean to my own understanding, but I got to allow you to lead and direct my path. See, if we will allow God to lead and direct us and stay in his will, then things will be better for us. But we like to do what we want to do. Some of us, you can't tell nothing. And then some of you can tell a few things. Then some of us are those type of folk that I got to learn it for myself. Whole lot of us are like that. We just learned some things and we done got a little bit better. How many of you know time makes things a little bit better? And those of us that are of age, we know that we've been out there. We've been messed up from the flow up. And if God just held everything against us, nobody in here would have nothing to praise God about. If God wasn't a forgiving God, nobody would have a hallelujah Jesus in their mouth. But because God is who he is, hallelujah, we got a right and a reason to praise him. Anybody want to tell God thank you? See, I wonder this morning, is there anybody testimony that God saved you and delivered you from whatever it was that was holding you down? And there are those of us that can say this morning that we are believers. But every believer in the house has sinned and come short of the glory of God. At some point in life, you had to make some changes in your mindset. You had to change your way of thinking, change the way that you felt about people. And you learned that in order for you to get where God wants you to be, all you got to do is confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose on that third day. So why will you allow the enemy to make you keep on trying to wrestle with your flesh? Why do you keep on trying to fix it yourself when all you got to do is let the Lord fix it? When you bring it to the altar and we say, leave it there, then leave it there. How many of you take it back with you? Because you're impatient. You don't think God comes fast enough. You can't see God working in your situation. But you know what I found out through experience? Is that in some of my roughest times in life, I didn't acknowledge the fact that at that time God was helping me to get to be a stronger individual. God was helping me to know that every day was not going to be a sunny day. But God was helping me to know that if I keep strong faith, if I hold on and hold out, then everything will still work out for my good. Anybody in here know where I'm coming from? Anybody here honest enough with yourself to know that you hadn't dotted every I, crossed every T? Anybody in here know that even after you claim salvation, you still had some times where you fell down, but you learned how to get back up? We got any folk in here that know how to, even though I fell, I got back up. When I got back up, God was still there with his arm wide open. And when God opened his arm and embraced me, everything was all right. Why would God do that? God would do that because he loved you. So I found out no matter how good we are, no matter how much service you give, no matter how much money you pay in tithes and offerings, no matter whether you got salvation or not, it's not by your self-effort. It's not by anything that you've done. It's not your merit or your worth. You can't do nothing to help the situation. For it's by grace are you saved. Not by any merits of your own. So in other words, the word is saying, ain't nothing you can do no way. But believe in the power of God. Sometimes when you try to fix it, you mess it up. But you got to know that the Bible teaches us that man should not be all by himself, but he just trusts the power of a mighty God. We got to know that God will be there when everybody else turned their back. There are some of us began to get a little self-righteous. There are some of us that got double standards. We feel like that I can do what I want to do, but I want you to do what the Bible say do. But now the same thing that goes for Paul goes for us. We got to understand that we got to answer for everything that we've done on this side of life. The Bible said that there are none perfect, no, not one. We talk like we've always had it together, but we are not yet spiritually complete. We got to know that we are always talking about the Lord will do and the Lord can do, but sometimes we don't give him an opportunity. We got to understand this morning that the price has already been paid. I thank God this morning that for all the things that I've gone through in my life, it took the power of a mighty God. I found out through the word of God that there are times when we think that we have all of the answers. But the Bible said that we ought not to have self-righteousness. See, a lot of times when you think that you're doing it all by yourself, you got to understand that it takes the power of a mighty God. Now, Paul said to the Philippians, you know, Paul was that one that at one point he talked against the people of God. Paul was that one that was one at one time he crucified and he persecuted the believers that trusted in the power of God. But now at this time in Paul's life, Paul realizes that I made some changes now. I saw the light and I know that things are a whole lot different. Paul realizes in this chapter that God has brought me so far that I'm not worried about what I don't have. I'm not worried about what I might get. But all I want to do is just get as close to the Lord as I can get. Paul said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. So in other words, when I changed my way of thinking, those things that I love to do that I thought that I was losing out, but I didn't lose anything because everything that I started doing for God, he made a way. Yet doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. So in other words, I need to get rid of some of my own personal junk, get rid of those things that are in my way that I might be able to gain the power of a loving God. He said, we found in him not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith. Now that's where we need to listen. Now, we find that every day we are trying it, or we should be trying to live by the laws of God. The Bible declared that there's no one of us that were able to live by all the laws. So that's why Jesus had to come. But now because we believe in the whole Bible, we would go and we read those laws that they are a standard for living. So we are supposed to try to the very best of our ability to live by those standards. But where we fall short, that's where Jesus steps in. And because I got faith in him, I'm going to try to live by the law. But since I can't live completely by the law all by myself, my faith in my God steps in. And when that faith steps in, the righteousness which is of God by my faith in God will make things work out for my good. Yeah. Anybody understanding that this morning? Yeah. Now look what Paul says. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So Paul didn't want to just have a zeal of God. Paul wanted to know God as he was. Paul said, if I could know him and know the power of his resurrection, what is the power of his resurrection? Then we don't have to worry about our shortcoming. We don't have to worry about our sin, because that is the power that Jesus had when he got up out the grave, that he killed sin in the flesh. The Bible says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, then it's when it starts getting deep. Paul says, not as though I've already attained. In other words, I hadn't already arrived. I'm not completely complete yet. Neither am I already perfect. There's some things still need to be worked out in me. But I follow after this, that I may apprehend, that I may know that for one thing, that I am apprehended, first of all, of Christ Jesus. Now, my brethren and my sisters, I count not myself to have already apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting. Anybody know how to forget? Need a little help in here right now. Forgetting those things which are where? Where? So now, if it's behind you, you ought to leave it behind you. So Paul is giving us some encouraging words here. Paul is letting us know that there comes a time that even though we remember, even though there are times that it justifies us to say, don't forget where you come from. At the same time, you got to forget those things behind you that have hindered you from being all that God will have you to be. Why? See, if I forget that thing that is behind me, then I reach forth unto all those things that are before me. For then he finalizes and said, for I press toward the mark. A high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Anybody pressing this morning? Anybody trusting God this morning? Anybody know that when you press toward the mark, Paul said, don't look back. Because when you look back, you get yourself in trouble. Yeah. I come to let you know that there's danger in looking back. Because sometimes when you look back, you remember some of the things that you used to do. Some of those things that you let go of a long time ago. But if you keep on looking back, if you keep on remembering and reminiscing, you find yourself with an inside desire. I wish I could get back to where I used to be. Oh, I used to have a good time staying out all night long. But you got to understand that God wanted you to do some changes in your life. I want to let you know that it's a danger for anybody to look back. You got to know that anywhere that you be, God is going to be right there. But let me tell you something. Y'all moving me a little fast. Give me one more good point. I jumped the gun on you that time. Hallelujah. I got one more thing I got to get in here. See, when you think about where you are in life, and now Paul has told us that we got to forget those things that are behind us. We got to stay in the press and press toward the mark. The mark is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The mark for us this morning is heaven's goal. So now, in order for us to get to heaven, we got to have our minds made up. You got to be able to be honest with yourself. And then you got to know that every one of us have a past. Every one of us got what they call skeletons in the closet. Anybody got a closet? Sometimes you better not open that door. So some of them bones will fall out on your head. Some been packing in for a long time. And then some of them learn how to pray some of them bones out the closet. But I want to let you know this morning that you got to be honest with yourself. See, I had a conversation with a friend of mine, a strong man, the God-fearing man. A man that realized that he was nothing but flesh and bones. A man that was honest enough to tell me that I sin and I do have shortcomings. This man was a man of integrity and an honest man because he said, I'd done some things in life that were good and I'd done some things that were bad. And for many years in my life, I know what it is to have been out of the will of God. But what impressed me the most in that conversation was his honesty. And then the words that he said, for he said, well, where I am right now, I can honestly say that in my life, I have no regrets. Don't you know when God has blessed you and you're able to look back over your life, whether it's good or whether it's bad. If it was what you wanted to do, you ought to be man or woman enough to say, I don't have any regrets. But I thank God that while I was in my mess, God didn't leave me all by myself. But God was right there when I needed him the most. But I want to let you know this morning that when we look at our text, we are dealing with an individual by the name of Lot. Now, Lot was a man that was a good man, a man that trusted the power of God. Lot was the nephew of Abraham, a man that had great authority that sat right there in the Jordan Valley, sat there at the gate of the city. And one thing about Lot was that Lot messed up. Because Lot had an opportunity to stay anywhere that he wanted to stay. Lot picked out the best land that was around. But the one thing about it, there's sinful things going on in that land. Lot found out that where he was a bad place to be. For we found out that Lot's children were disobedient children. If you keep your children in the wrong atmosphere, in the wrong environment too long, if you allow them to stay in a whole lot of mess all the time, a lot of that mess is going to rub off on them. I don't care how holy and sanctified you are. You better learn that if you're not strong enough to be in the fire, you better get yourself out and get into a safe zone. You may not be able to say that we can hang with any and everybody, but if somebody gonna pull you back into the wrong stuff, you better let them go. You better learn how to know who you can hang with and know who you got to let go. Everybody that say they love you don't even like you. There's some folks that trying to get you in a mess. There's some folks that got a trap set for you. But we gotta look here at this Bible about Lot. Lot realized that I got some responsibilities. I know that I'm supposed to treat my family right. But Lot done got itself in a whole lot of mess. For you're living in a town where unnatural things were going on. But the Bible said, hallelujah, Jesus, that there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them, bowed himself down to the face of the ground. For he recognized authority. He recognized the spirit of a mighty God. He recognized that these men wasn't like the other men in the city. There was something about these men that they needed to be protected. There was something about these men that we need to draw them on in. For Lot brought the men into his house, gave them food to eat, made sure that everything was all right. But now if you know the story, there were so many in the city. They were all corrupt and they wanted those men for themselves. But they said that they went to the door and they were trying to get in. But when Lot found out that they were out on the outside, Lot stepped outside the door and closed the door behind him. See, in the Eastern custom, when somebody was in your house, when they were your guests, you are to protect them. You are over to watch over them. You're supposed to feed them and treat them like you treat yourself. So now that Lot is treating them like he treats himself, he's trying to protect them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Lot said, I got two daughters in the house. If you just let me give them to you and do these men no harm, everything would be all right. But how many of you know when the devil is the devil, you can't tell the devil nothing. The devil gonna do what he got in his mind to do. But the Bible said that they began to get a little rowdy on the outside. You know how it is when you got your mind made up, especially when you're not all by yourself and you got some help. They began to say, we're going to tear this door down. We're going to get inside and we're going to get those men on the outside. But the men on the inside heard what was going on the outside. And God, with his mighty power, allowed the men to open up the door, pull Lot back on the inside, let Lot know everything is going to be all right. I want to let you know that if you serve the power of God, God has a way this morning that he'll make everything all right. God has a way this morning that he know exactly what you're about to get into. So now look at us looking at God. God realized that the men are about to get in a little trouble. So God allowed the men of God to put blindness in the eyes of those on the outside. Isn't it a sad thing when one minute you can see, but because you're trying to do the wrong thing, God took their very sight away. They couldn't even find the door. They couldn't even find no way to get in. But I want to let you know what they said to him. The men of God began to talk to him, and they lingered, and the men held the hilt of his hand. And he said, I want you to go and tell your wife, tell all of your family that we're getting ready to destroy this city because they're not going to do right. We come to let you know, Lot, that God said he's going to destroy this city. The Bible said, and when it comes to pass, we're going to bring you outside the city. Escape for your life. Don't look behind you. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now, this is the order that comes from God. First of all, you got to get out of the city. When you get out of the city, the next order is don't look back. See, you got to learn how to be obedient. You got to do what the Lord say do. Anybody in here this morning realize that there comes a time in your life that you got to forget about what happened yesterday. You got to forget about what is behind you. Don't you know the story this morning? As they began to walk out the city, just before they got ready to go, Lot stopped by his son-in-law's house. So I want to let you know that God getting ready to do some things. God getting ready to destroy this city. So you better get your house in order. Pack up your little belongings and let's get ready to go. But they said, the Bible said they mocked him. They act like Lot didn't know what he was talking about. Lot went on and said, well, if I can't save you, we got to realize you got to save somebody. So Lot got his wife and his two daughters. They began the journey out of the city. Anybody see Lot walking out of the city, realize that he's not where he used to be. I want to let you know this morning that when you get ready to get out of the city, I want to let you know that I'm going to destroy the whole city. So Lot, you better get on the outside. Now Lot had a little bit of reservation. So the Bible say that those angels took Lot by the hand. They took him and brought him on the outside. You see, sometimes you got to have a little bit of help to get out of that situation that you're in. You got to have somebody that loves you enough that'll give you a little boost every now and again. Anybody in here need a little boost? That you are stuck in one spot. You just spinning your wheels and going nowhere. Well, I'm here to give you some traction this morning. I'm here to let you get loose. I'm going to give you that boost you need. All you need to do is let go and let God. You see, Lot realized after he got on the outside, he realized that I heard what the Lord said. Lord said, don't look back, because if I look back, there's going to be danger in the land. I want to let you know that as they began to walk, you know how it is when you've been in a place a long time, had a good time every day of your life. You like what you were doing and you want to go back, but something down on the inside said, don't look back, just keep on keeping on. Anybody want to press with me this morning? Don't look back over your life, but just keep on walking, keep on trusting the power of God. But the Bible says that as they went along the way, if you look there in the Bible say Lot's wife, see, she began to let a man go the wrong way. She began to think, I wish I could go back to my house that I left. I wish I could go back and see some of the friends that I left. But when God said do it one way, you better do it the way God said do it. So now look at this woman. She's going on about her own business. But all of a sudden, everything began to happen. All the fire and all the brimstone, all this going on down behind them. Might have been a whole lot of noise, hollering and screaming. And that might get your attention and get you off focus. You can't allow the enemy to get your focus off course. For when God said, keep your head straight and you go left or you go right, you better do what the Lord say do. But this woman of God, she looked back and the Bible said, immediately she turned into a pillar of salt. Don't you know that you ought to do what the Lord God said do? But I want to let you know something about Lot. Lot realized that I got to do what God said do. Don't come talking about that woman you gave me or that man you gave me. Made me do this, that, or the other. You got to work out your own soul salvation. Now, this woman could have walked to safety if she had been obedient to the word of God. I'm sure Lot told her that God said, when we get out of the city, don't look back. Because you look back, danger is going to be in the land. But how many of you know we hard-headed? How many of you know that we got to try it all way? But God has a way of bringing us back in. God has a way of letting us know that you better stop trusting your own imagination and trust the power of a mighty God. Don't look back for anything that is behind you. The danger in looking back, you can't see where you're going if you're looking back. So you're very well to walk into some things that's going to cause you trouble, undue heartache, and it's going to distract your progress. But if you had that mindset like Paul said, I hadn't already attained, I'm not perfect, I don't have all the answers, but my mind is made up. I want to be where Jesus is. So I'm going to forget when I was a messed up mess. And I'm going to keep on pressing toward the mark. I'm going to remember the story of Brother Lot, that God said that when you leave trouble, when you leave all of those things that are detrimental to your health, don't look back. What you looking back for? If there are no regrets, you don't have no reason to look back, because you ought to be thankful for whence God brought you and where you are, and then even more grateful to where you're trying to get to. you got to stay in the press. Now, when you start out, there may be 1,000. At the finish line, it could dwindle down to 1. But if that 1 make it in, the heavens will rejoice. And if that other part that don't make it in, it's nobody's fault but your own. I hope you understand this morning that we all got a history. We all have a past. But forget those things that are behind you and press toward the mark.